Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. On this 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time, I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
I'm very well. Getting ready. Well, we're in the midst the beginning of October, so we're kind of into the fall. My favorite time of year.
Yes, this is my favorite time of year as well. It's nice to feel the temperatures lessening just a little bit, and we look forward to milder weather in the weeks to come.
Yes, that's right, hopefully.
Lots of activities planned here in the month of October.
Right, exactly.
The Gen Verde concert next weekend, as well as the State of the Diocese later this month. We will have more details on that in the future. But right now, Bishop, we ask you to proclaim this Sunday's gospel.
This is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 21. Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went off on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again, he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants, who will give him the produce at the proper time." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the Scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When I was preparing for the program, I read this gospel, and even though we are all familiar with the parables that Jesus shares with us, this one, I had forgotten about the details, and there is so much for us to discuss and to reflect on. Bishop, are you sometimes surprised at all that can be found in the beauty of the Scriptures?
Well, it always, because we always pick up the gospel like this and we read it for face value, but a couple things. It's first of all a parable, and Jesus is addressing it to the chief priests and the elders. So to a people who kind of had their ideas made up, they were part of a society, the Jewish society, but also priests of the temple. But we all get narrow-minded, you know, we get used to things and this is the way it's done. So I think what helps me, and I think can help all of us, that this is a parable, a story that's written to bring across a point. And it's a point I think that's very relevant to today, that in the midst of all we're going through, and we're going through a lot right now, politically, socially, so many things, that many times we create our own opinions and we become very firm in those opinions and we're not open to prophecy. This tenant, the landowner in this parable is God, and he is the one that owns the land. And we forget that in our own lives. When we go back to the Baltimore Catechism, who created me? God created me. Well, we would all say that. But do we understand the implications of that? That my life belongs to God. I'm a steward of all that God gives me, the land that I live on, the job that I have. We are all created in God's image, and everything belongs to Him. I mean, when we really mature in the spiritual life, we come to that realization, everything belongs to God. He gives us the opportunity to possess our lives, to live in our world. So in that sense, we're tenants. So he's trying to say to the chief priests, the elders, and to us today, that when you become so entrenched in your own ideas and definitions of things, that you might be losing a little bit of the of an openness to God's plan. And we need prophets to bring that about. So when you then go to the tenants are not following the regulations that the landowner gave them, he sent his servants. Who were the servants in this case back in the time of Jesus? I think Jesus is referring to the prophets. So I sent you Isaiah, I sent you Jeremiah, I sent you Ezekiel, I sent you Micah, you know, all these prophets that speak the word of God. And many times when we read the prophets, it goes into conflict with the way the people were living at the time. I gave you this land, you've abused it, or I gave you this freedom, you've refused it. So God sent prophets to be his voice amidst the people. But sometimes, even today, we don't want to hear the voice of a prophet because it disturbs my way of doing things, my way of understanding life. It disturbs my comfort. And so prophecy is one of those things that is from the Holy Spirit today and then. So it was always the Spirit of God working through people, through the prophets, bringing the voice of God to his people, or in this case, putting it on a more earthly tone. It's a landowner sending his servants to speak to the tenants. So then we go to the son. So we have the chief priests and the elders who are the ones listening to this parable, Jesus speaking the parable. The parable includes a landowner, which can represent God, who is the creator of all, the tenants who are given the stewardship of the land, and then the servants who represent the Father, God, who are like the prophets. Nobody's listening. So he says, I'll send my son, which for us is Jesus Christ. Certainly they'll listen to my son. So we look at Jesus was treated the same way. They took the son out thinking, this is the son, he's going to get it all. We're going to lose out, so we can't do that. So they let us come and take him, kill him, and inquire the inheritance. They did seize him, they threw him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. So all of that then shows us, or is a representation of the fact that God sent his son into the world to speak to us, his word, to free us, not to entangle us in any kind of a system of law, but to free us, to give us true freedom through his word. If you live this word, it will set you free. He said that. My word will set you free, free of power, free of hatred, free of a lack of mercy for others, etc. So the word frees us. So this, we could say in our terms, so the tenant saw this guy's kind of asking us to change who we are and how we think, our mentality. So we got to get rid of him too. And so then the question comes up, what will the owner of the vineyard then do to the tenants when he comes? In other words, when God returns, when the Lord returns, the landowner, what will he do to the tenants who treated the servants, the prophets this way, and treated his son Jesus this way? Well, they answered, of course, these wretched people, not realize he's talking to them. These wretched people, he will put them to death and lease his farm, his vineyard to others. But then Jesus refers to Psalm 118, where he says, did you never hear the scriptures? Again, you're not listening to the scriptures when you're thinking this way. Did you never hear the scriptures? He said, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful to our eyes. So the principal lesson here is that God did not come in power. God did not come in Jesus Christ to be any kind of an earthly ruler, to boss people around, to set up rules, et cetera, et cetera. He came as a servant, as the servant of God, as the Son of God. When we reject him, we reject our own freedom. When we reject his word, we reject our own advancement in life, in the sense that we become who we truly are. So when we reject what God gives us in his Son, it's not that the stone is rejected in the sense that it's thrown away and it never comes back. It's we that reject the beauty that God wants to give us for our lives by hardening our own hearts against the Word of God. But it's that very stone, Jesus, the Word of God, that is the cornerstone, and it will always remain.
We hear the term cornerstone, and it is a powerful image. We think of that as the foundation, something that is both strong and essential.
Yes, right. When you build a building, you always look for kind of a special rock. You put some writing on it, and you want to put it on a special spot in the foundation as you're building a building. And that's who Jesus is for us. He is the cornerstone of humanity. He's the most important person that has ever entered into human life. He is the gift, and all of us can find life in him. That's really the ultimate meaning of this, and something that we should all take to heart, especially in our times for today.
And when we reach the end of the gospel, Jesus says the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who can produce its fruit.
Right. And the people that it's given to is the people that will listen, the people of a humble heart, the people of meekness, the children. When you go back to the gospels, who listens to Jesus? Who does he favor? Those who are simple of heart, who are humble. Those can hear the word of God, receive it, and act upon it, and produce much fruit in humanity.
Thank you, Bishop, for not only explaining that, but clarifying the gospel for our hearts here today on this 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. You're listening to Our Shepherd's View, and after the break, we will discuss the word of life for October. We will be right back.
Gin Verde is an internationally acclaimed performing arts group, and they're coming to Corpus Christi. These professional artists and consecrated women bring a wealth of experience in ministering to young people from all over the world through art. They'll be presenting a 5-day performance camp October 11th through the 15th for high school enrolled teens 14 to 18. The camp is free of charge and offered on a first-come, first-served basis by the Diocese of Corpus Christi. Participants may choose a workshop on dance, singing, percussion, or drama. During the camp, Gin Verde will help young people discover their God-given talents, raise their confidence, witness to their Catholic faith, and learn how God gives meaning to every moment of life. The camp will conclude with a combined performance on stage with Gin Verde and a mega concert on October 14th. To register or volunteer, or just get more information, visit dioceccc.org/YPA.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey. And we will now share with you the word of life for October. It is a truly beautiful way to reflect on Scripture and also set our spiritual course for the week and for the rest of the month.
Yeah, it's one that hits really to the core of all of our lives, and I think we'll see that as we read the commentary mm-hmm. and talk about it afterwards. So the word of life for this month is, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." From Luke chapter 14, verse 11. The Gospels often indicate Jesus' willingness to accept invitations to share a meal together. Such occasions were opportunities to come together, make friends, and reinforce relationships. In this passage from Luke's Gospel, Jesus has been observing the behavior of the guests. As they race to occupy the places reserved for dignitaries, their anxious desire to affirm their social status is palpable. But Jesus is thinking about another banquet, the one that will be offered to all the children in his Father's house. without required entitlements based on alleged superiority. Indeed, the best places will be reserved for those who put themselves last, at the service of others. This is why he proclaims, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." By making ourselves the center of attention, with our greed, pride, demands, and complaints, we fall into the temptation of idolatry, that is, of worshiping false gods who deserve neither honor nor trust. The first thing Jesus seems to be asking us is to come down from the pedestal of our ego and make God himself, and not ourselves, the focus of attention in life. God must have the place of honor. It is important to make room for him, deepen our relationship with him, and learn from him the evangelical attitude of putting ourselves last. In fact, to do so is to choose the place that God himself chose in Jesus. Although he is Lord, he chose to share the human condition and proclaim his Father's love to everyone. "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." This is also a lesson on how to build fraternity, that is, how to form a community of men and women, adults and children, healthy and sick, who are capable of building bridges and serving the common good. Like Jesus, we can approach each neighbor without fear and walk side by side during both difficult and joyful times. We can value their qualities, share material and spiritual goods, encourage, and give hope and forgive. We will attain the heights of charity and the freedom of God's children. In a world where the desire for personal success has led to a breakdown in society, behaving in this way means going directly against the tide. It is an entirely evangelical revolution. This is the law of Christian community. As the Apostle Paul wrote, "In humility, value others above yourselves." For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. In October of 1995, Kara Lubick wrote in a commentary, "Have you noticed? In the world, everything has a completely different order. The law of the ego prevails, and we know the painful consequences, injustice, abuse of power, and falsehood of every kind. And yet Jesus does not focus directly on these forms of abuse, but turns his attention to the human heart, the root from which they arise. Our hearts must be transformed. If we are to acquire new attitudes and establish genuine and just relationships. To be humble does not only mean being ambitious and dominant. It means being aware of our own nothingness, feeling small before God, and thus placing ourselves in his hands like children. How can we be humble? By doing as Jesus did and acting out of love for our brothers and sisters. God considers that whatever we do to others is done to him. Therefore, it is a matter of putting ourselves in a lower place and serving them, and we will certainly be exalted in the world to come in the next life. This reversal of situations is already present in the church. In fact, whoever commands must be ready to serve the others. Situations, therefore, have already changed. If the words that we have studied so carefully are lived out, the church is already a sign of the world to come.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Bishop. And hearing those beautiful words, it is as if we are challenged to hold the mirror up to ourselves and really look at how we treat others, as well as how we think of ourselves.
a lot to examine ourselves on, you know, almost an examination of conscience about our own attitudes, our mentality, how we see other people, how we see ourselves in the world. There's a lot to look at.
I was struck by that section where it says to steer away from self-idolatry. We live in an age where being so self-centered that you are oblivious to the needs and the value of others. And in today's world where there are so many voices and images competing for our attention, it is truly a message that challenges us to cut through the clutter and place God at the center of our lives.
Right, yeah. You know, I have to say this. It really struck me on Thursday. I have a conference call with some bishops, and it's just kind of our spiritual time together to talk about, and we use the word of life that we're using here to kind of measure ourselves and how do we put this into practice. And, you know, we're all under a lot of pressure right now from many, many directions, expectations of other people, you know, all these kind of things, which, you know, there's so much that's implied through what we're going through. One of the bishops said, which I thought was very astute, and he said, you know, when it gets really too heavy, what I do is I go visit one of the schools and just be with the children. But I think that's, and we all kind of nodded our heads, but it's true, because children are humble. I mean, that's who they are. That's why Jesus said, unless you become like children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So before they get into the difficulties and the expectations of the world, they're simple. And that's what we're called to. And I think what he was really saying is we can see the beauty of life reflected in a child. And that's where the humility is. But there were some words here that they're kind of the opposite of that. I liked the word, or don't like the word, but I like the expression of the alleged superiority. We're not superior. That's why St. Paul said, always see the other one as more important than yourselves. So if I put myself above someone else, and that can be in the family, that can be anywhere, then it's alleged. I'm really not superior to anyone. If I really have the mind of Christ, the attitude of Christ, I have the attitude of service. It doesn't mean, is it like it says, just sitting back and doing nothing or just being dormant, but it doesn't mean being dominant either. So where the service takes on many expressions. But I think this is a really an important word of life, word from the Gospel of St. Luke of Jesus for us to hold on to, especially at this time.
I know we are nearing the end of our time here on the program, but I want to point out a section in the Word of Life commentary for this month that says, we will attain the heights of charity and the freedom of God's children in a world where the desire for personal success has led to a breakdown of society. Behaving in this way means going decidedly against the tide. That means it will definitely not be easy. We are always facing that struggle within ourselves.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's really, I won't say fighting a mentality, but it is. It's going against a mentality with dominant right now, which is the I, the ego. It's that life is centered on me or the individual person. But the responsibility for all of us and the image of God, when we say I'm created in God's image, God's a community, three persons. And so our way is to build community, and the Word of Life speaks of that, the commentary. This is a lesson on how to build fraternity. That is, how to form community of men and women, adults and children, healthy and sick, who are capable of building bridges and serving the common good. Building bridges means knowing how to dialogue people who are different than I am, who think differently. That takes humility. And also to be able to work for the common good, not my personal good. So the focus is taken off the I and is placed on the we.
We take these words with us into our week and beyond. Thank you, Bishop, for sharing this month's Word of Life and your reflection as well. If you would now close the program with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, who in the abundance of your kindness surpass the merits of the desires of those who entreat you, pour out your mercy upon us to pardon what conscience dreads, and to give what prayer does not dare to ask. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
You were invited to the annual State of the Diocese event. It's an evening where parishioners can all come together as disciples of our Lord. Bishop Michael Mulvey will update everyone on the state of the diocese, that is, where we are and where we want to be. It's a chance for parishioners to celebrate and thank the Lord for the great gifts He gives us every day. Dinner is provided and you can bring the kids. You'll learn about vocations, youth and young adults, communications, and so many other programs you may have heard about but want to know more about. You may even want to get involved. It starts at 6 p.m. at the Robstown Fairgrounds in Ballroom B. Dinner will be served at 6:30 p.m. Seating is limited, so you must pre-register at dioccc.org/state.